I'm excited about Christmas. I always get excited about Christmas. I really do. I'm not just saying that. Some preacher said, I'm not preaching now, I'm telling the truth. Amen. And I love Christmas time. I just do. We feel so bad. My wife has, of course, been sick, and you know she's recovering. The baby's been a little sick, and she said, I feel like we just haven't really had a chance to enjoy the season. And I'm saying, well, honey, we got 10 more days. Amen. That's about it. Amen. And but I love Christmas. I love Christmas music. Christmas music playing in our house all the time during this time. I love Christmas programs. I'm excited about our program coming up. And I know there's commercialism. Boy, you could see it with the Thanksgiving Day sales. Used to be, you know, Black Friday. Now it's, I don't know, Dark Thursday or whatever they call it. Amen. And I know there's materialism, and I do my best to stay away from the malls. Can I get a witness? Amen. But I do not understand how a person can be a Christian and not like Christmas. I just don't understand that. Amen. And it takes me back to a time of innocence in my childhood and trying to stay awake. Amen. 12 o'clock. And then mom said, you know, you can get your stocking. And, you know, you get your stocking and you open it up and all those things. And then waking up in the morning, and I've got a great video of my kids a couple of years ago. And I was sitting on the couch and I had my camera over here and I heard the pitter patter, you know. And of course the tree was all decorated and all that. And my son Eric came in, I think he was 4 at the time, and he said, Daddy, and he looked at me and he went, looked at the tree, amen, just, wow, amen. And that, boy, that's the way we ought to feel about Christmas. Amen. Wow, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. More than anything else, I love Christmas because it's about Christ. It's about Christ. Amen. Many years ago now, I had a personal experience with the Christ of Christmas. Been almost 20 years for me. One day, the entire world recognizes that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And as we begin here today in this message, we want to dwell on God's wonderful love and grace and patience and mercy. Prior to our text here in Luke 1 and in Matthew 1, it had been a period of profound silence for the people of God. See, between the 4th chapter of Malachi and the 1st chapter of Matthew are what we call the 400 silent years, where God did not speak through His prophets. God had no book written during that time. And the last book of the Bible that had been inspired, Malachi, scholars put it at about 397 B.C. And it was a time of darkness. And during that time, politically, the world was under the rule first of Medo-Persia. Many of you remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream and his image. Medo-Persia was the chest and the arms of silver, the second kingdom after Babylon, the head of gold, the first kingdom. And Medo-Persia, from 539 B.C. to 331 B.C., ruled the world. And then, of course, came that marvelous empire like a leopard of Greece, the belly and the thighs of brass in Nebuchadnezzar's image, that third kingdom. And from 331 B.C. to 323, in just 8 short years, Alexander conquered the world. And Brother Taverni, he wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. Well, I think that's why God had them to be that devouring leopard with 4 wings, because of how quickly they conquered. And then the last kingdom that would come to be in 300 B.C. and would actually reign until 476 A.D. is, of course, the kingdom of Rome. the Roman Empire. It takes us right into our story today, that Roman Empire, that legs of iron and the feet, part of iron, part of clay, that fourth kingdom. And just think, bring yourself into Luke chapter 1 here, ladies and gentlemen. Rome has conquered the known world. And as a matter of fact, the slogan, which some still use today, was, "All roads lead to Rome." Rome. However, the spiritual silence that God's people had endured for 400 years now would be broken with a flurry of angelic activity that had never been heard before. The passage that we're looking at today, many of you have a study Bible today, is commonly known as the Annunciation. The Annunciation. And we're told here that the angel Gabriel is sent by God to deliver a message to a virgin named Mary in the village of Nazareth. Gabriel here is one of only three angels named in the Bible. We're told of the first, his name is Michael. We find that Michael named in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 12, Jude, I was going to say chapter 1, but you know that, amen. Revelation chapter 12 as well. His job, he is the archangel. He is in charge of the armies of the Lord of hosts. And he makes war with Satan. He withstands evil. The other angel that's mentioned besides Gabriel is an angel named Lucifer. Lucifer was that covering angel of the ark of God, literally hovered over the throne of God. And we know what happened to Lucifer. He became overcome with pride and he saw God. And because he was so beautiful, he said, "I am going to be God." And God said, "No, you're not. Thou shalt be cast down to hell." And he fell in pride. So there's Michael, he's in conjunction with withstanding evil and leading the angels into war. There's Lucifer, one of the covering angels, and had some sort of authority regarding music in heaven. There's a lot of preachers that say Lucifer was the choir leader of heaven. Well, I don't think that. I don't know that the Bible says that. Amen. He may have been, but the Bible doesn't say. And by the way, what the Bible doesn't say, we ought not to say with authority.
Amen.
Amen. And so he had, the Bible talked about how his pipes were prepared, and certainly I think he should have had some involvement in music there. But then this last angel that we're talking about here, Gabriel, is always mentioned in conjunction with the announcements of God. I happen to think, now I'm away from the pulpit now, and the Bible doesn't say, so I won't say it too loudly, amen. I happen to think, ladies and gentlemen, we preached about the rapture a little while back. I happen to think it's going to be Gabriel that gets to blow the trumpet for the rapture. The trump of the archangel, amen. Because he's always announcing something. And here, he comes to Mary in this Annunciation. I want you to notice something about Mary. Mary was a quiet learner. Look, if you would, you're in Luke chapter 1. Probably go over just a page to Luke chapter 2, verse 19. And this is after the birth of Christ, the shepherds visit, and all these things that have taken place. Look at verse number 19 of chapter 2. It says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Imagine over the last two chapters what she has been privileged to sit and to listen to this message from the angel. Wow. She ponders things in her heart. I know one of the things that the kids like most about Christmas time is that there's no school. I know that's in some of the Christmas songs. Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. Amen. You know, Mary here went to Christmas school. The angel taught Mary some things. And I believe there's some items that we can draw out of this, some lessons that Mary learned. She wasn't touched by an angel, but she was taught by an angel, wasn't she? I want you to notice three things this morning. Number one, at Mary's Christmas school, she was made aware, or she learned, of God's unending plans. God's unending plans. Look at back in Luke chapter 1, verse number 33. And here the angel is telling Mary in verse 31, he talks about Jesus, and he shall be great in verse 32. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, how long?
Forever.
And of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. Let's consider, first of all, under God's unending plans, the schedule. The schedule. Mary was a young Jewish maiden who no doubt had plans of her own. How do you know she had plans of her own? Well, she was betrothed to a husband. Amen? She was probably picking out curtains, Brother Holy. Amen? And sheets and glasses to match plates and all those other things. Amen? She had her wedding plans. That day that she had dreamed of since she was a little girl when her husband would whisk her away. Amen? And take her to that home he'd prepared. Maybe she thought about making her first meal for her husband. Maybe she thought about just pleasing her husband and tending to her new home and perhaps having that first garden and snuggling up by the fire with her husband and having children and being a mother. Have you noticed that God's schedule and our schedules do not always agree? God does things in His timing. And by the way, He doesn't have to ask our permission.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And here, God's schedule, this idea that it was going to reign forever and ever and no end. But not only was there the schedule that of Mary's that was certainly interrupted here, but there were the surprises. What was a surprise? Well, a surprise to Mary first was the salutation. The salutation there. And look at verse 28. It says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And at the end of verse 30 we see, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Mary was surprised by this. Amen?
Amen?
She was surprised to find out that she was highly favored and the Lord was with her and she was blessed amongst women and she had found favor with God. You know, there are those who think they are God's gift to humanity. But Mary was not one of them. She was humble. And it came as a great surprise to her that she was thought of so highly by the Lord. So there was the surprise of the salutation. There was the surprise of the conception, ladies and gentlemen. Look at verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. What a beautiful name. Jesus. Jesus. She was told that she would conceive before her marriage had been consummated. That had never happened, and that has never happened since. She was told that she would have a boy. She was told what the child's name would be. Now, some of you moms may take offense to that. I'm going to name my child. Well, in this case, the Son of God already had a name.
Amen.
Amen. His name would be called Jesus. So there was the salutation that was a surprise. There was the conception that was a surprise. There was the dominion that was a surprise. Look at verse 32. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Her son, the one that she was going to give birth to, was the Son of Almighty God.
Amen.
And he was going to reign forever. He was going to sit on David's throne. Now imagine what this must have been like at the time, because you know who ruled in Israel? Caesar. So you're going to give birth to the one who's going to sit on David's throne. The dominion came as a surprise. The conception came as a surprise. The salutation came as a surprise. So we've looked at the schedule. We've looked at the surprises. And then I wanted you to notice the substance of God's unending plans. God's plans are eternal. God's plans are eternal. And we, as we live our lives, should live and serve and give with eternity in view. Ladies and gentlemen, I preached a message last week about things I collect. Things God collects. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? All those collectibles I have, one day they're just going to burn up.
Yeah.
They're just going to be gone. Not worth completely living my life around those things, Brother Horsch. Amen. Not at all. Nice little hobby here or there. But you know what's not going to pass away? Souls. Your neighbor. Your coworker. Your cousin. Your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad. That's the only thing we can take to heaven with us. God's unending plans, first of all. Mary was taken to Christmas school and she learned about God's unending plans. Secondly, look with me in your text, if you would. Verses 32 and 33. It says, "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." She not only learned of God's unending plans, but she also learned of God's unfailing promises. God's unfailing promises. No doubt Mary had been instructed in the promises of the coming Messiah. She knew, no doubt, that he was to be, according to Isaiah 7:14, born of a virgin. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," God with us. No doubt Mary knew about that promise that was given so long ago by the prophet Isaiah. There was another promise that Isaiah gave, and it was that the Messiah would be an heir of David. Isaiah 9:7 said, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever." Mary had heard that promise that when Messiah came, he was going to sit on the throne of David. She had heard the promise that when Messiah came, he was going to be born of a virgin. She had heard the promise that when Messiah came, he was going to be born in the city of Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings have been from old, even from everlasting." But those promises have been given hundreds of years ago and hadn't come to pass. However, Gabriel assures Mary that God's promises are unfailing. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? 1 Peter chapter 1 says to us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by them you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then down in verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says this, Peter talking about the transfiguration, he said, we saw the Lord with our own eyes, we saw Him in glory, but we have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein you do well that you take heed, as the light that shineth in a dark place. Ladies and gentlemen, Mary found out that the promises of God are unfailing. Can I tell you this? The promises of God are unfailing.
That's right.
I read a lot. I try to. I don't always succeed. I try to read. Amen. Some of you are eye crossers like me when you read. Amen. Just not hopefully when we're reading the Scripture during service. Amen. There's a lot of, I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that's on the rise in our country is atheism. Yeah. And let me just tell you something about atheism. It's straight out of hell.
Yeah.
It's straight out of hell. You want me to stop beating around the bush? Amen. It's straight out of hell. Mm-hmm. That's where it is. It's where it's birthed, where it comes from. And I see it this time of year. They want equal time and equal play on city parks and playgrounds with Christianity. Can I tell you what this book tells us? There's hope.
Yeah.
Amen. There's hope.
Amen.
You know what a manger tells us? There's hope.
Yeah.
Manger. You know what an atheist tells us?
No.
Crickets. Crickets. Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, that's nice. You want to put up a display. Nothing or hope? I'll take hope.
Amen.
I'll take hope. The promises of God. The promises of God. You know, God's promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, I'm not a good Christian, but if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you are a Christian.
Amen.
And you know why? It's not because you asked so good. It's because God's promises are never failing.
Right.
Well, you think about different promises in your life. I think about what the Tavernis and the Cones and the Howlands have gone through in this last month. You know what? God promised to be the God of all comfort.
Yes,
and He is.
Amen.
You know why? Because His promises are unfailing. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad that I can read this text 2,000 years later and say, yes, the Messiah was born of a virgin. Yes, yes, He was born in Bethlehem. And yes, He will reign on the throne of David. I think of the promise of salvation. I think of the promise of eternal life. And I give unto them, Brother Wright, eternal life. Oh, it didn't say they buy it. It didn't say they work for it. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. By the way, God could have just wrote, they shall not perish. But God chose to have written, they shall never perish. You know why? Because His promises are unfailing.
Amen.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See, God promised us eternal life. God promised salvation. God promised His presence. And be content with such things as you have, Hebrews 13:5 says. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I saw the end result this week of atheism. By the way, I already knew the end result. They released some pictures from the Russian gulags. Those kind atheists. They're so kind. By the way, you never see an atheist hospital. or a crippled children's home, or just, and they showed the pictures of the Christians that the atheists rounded up with their faces smashed in, noses broken, all because they wouldn't deny the Savior. But really, we're supposed to be tolerant. Huh. Boy, that sure is a one-way street. It's a dead end, too, by the way. It's the only one-way street that's a dead end. And I saw what that was done and thought about that. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Even in that, those blessed believers, God didn't forsake them. He was with them. You ought to read Harlan Popoff's Tortured for His Faith, or Richard Wurmbrand's With Christ in the Communist Camps. Oh, thank God for His presence, even in the midst of turmoil, the presence of God. You know what else is a promise that He's given us? In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd have given you another promise. I go to prepare a place for you. That's a promise. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. A promise. Mary learned about God's unending plans. Mary learned about God's unfailing promises. Lastly, this morning, Mary learned about God's unlimited power. God's unlimited power. You know, we see evil advancing and we think, why doesn't God do something? You know, He could have called 10,000 angels when He was on the cross. He could have called 12 legions of angels and wiped out the world. I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. My life verse is found there in verse 37. And it says this: For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I want you to notice in regards to God's unlimited power. First, there was the confusion. Mary was no doubt confused by the wonderful news that Gabriel had given her, that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. And so we have the confusion, first of all, but then we have the question in verse 34. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a legitimate question. She said, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And Mary was not talking about having friendly knowledge. She was talking about having physical knowledge with a man. She had never known man before. She said, That just doesn't happen. You're right. You're right. That just doesn't happen except by God's unlimited power. And so we see the confusion, we see the question, and then thirdly, we see the explanation in verse 35. Look what it says. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God wasn't going to be born naturally, but supernaturally. Amen. And she found out about God's unlimited power. There's the confusion, the question, the explanation, the demonstration of God's unlimited power in verse 37. I'm sorry, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Gabriel reminds Mary here that God has demonstrated His unlimited power, and that her cousin Elizabeth, who was past childbearing age, now old, amen, and was barren, is now expecting a baby boy. And then we have, lastly, the declaration of God's unlimited power. Verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. I'm looking forward to preaching on that text in February. Lord willing, the Lord would be so kind. Some of you have heard my testimony, my life verse. But God here through Gabriel is declared to have no impossibilities. None. God has unlimited power. Listen to me, church member. God can save that loved one that you think is unsalvageable.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean, Pastor, I think is unsalvageable? Listen, we all get to that point at some point where we've witnessed and witnessed and witnessed and witnessed, and they don't listen. You listen to me. God can save them. You ought to get with the Bostons. If you've never heard Brother Jim Boston's testimony about his dad, you need to hear it. If you've got a loved one that you've been praying for years, you need to, I could tell it, but I won't do it justice. He got saved at his wife's funeral. Telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, God can save anybody. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God can save that loved one. I'll tell you what else. God can heal that sick one. Oh, sometimes we hear the phrase, there's no hope. And listen, I understand, it's not always God's will to heal. By the way, sometimes He heals by taking them home.
Yes.
They're all healed, amen? But if you get a report and it comes back cancer, I'm here to tell you this. If God wants to, He could heal you quicker than you got that report.
Amen.
Why? Because for with God, nothing shall be impossible. This declaration here, can I say this? God can reclaim that backslidden one. I think of many of you that have already raised your children. You've raised your children. There's a bunch of us that our shoots are starting to come out of the ground. Some of you, you harvested that crop a long time ago. And you did the best you could, all God's people said.
Amen.
And today, that one that was raised in a home where the Bible was that bread that was broken open, and God was revered and church was important to them, today, none of those things matter to them. I'm going to tell you something. God can bring them back.
That's right.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he should not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Why? 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 How do we know that, Pastor? It doesn't seem to be happening. How do we know? Because for with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
Time for us to let God out of the bottle that we have Him in.
Yeah.
That's right.
We keep Him in that little genie bottle, don't we? We pray little prayers, and okay, God, you can take care of that for me. We need to realize He wants to have unlimited power in our lives.
Amen.
And He does. Mary's Christmas school. What did she learn? Well, she learned about God's unending plans. Can I say this? We could learn something about God's unending plans during this Christmas season. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means God's unending plans here not only included the manger, but the cross. That song that Ron Hamilton wrote many years ago, on the night Christ was born, What was it? He said, born to die on Calvary. Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die on Calvary. He was wounded that I might live. That's God's unending plan, ladies and gentlemen. Not only God's unending plans, but we learn about God's unfailing promises. Not only the cross, but the promise of resurrection. Jesus said to His disciples that He was going to Jerusalem and that He would be scourged and He would be put to death, and on the third day He would rise again. And He did. And He did rise on the third day. God's unending plans include the cross. God's unfailing promises include the resurrection. God's unlimited power. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God's unlimited power to give somebody a second birth. Amen. Aren't you glad for the second birth today?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that time that God revealed to you that you were a sinner and needed to be saved and you said yes?
Yeah.
Oh, you may have been this high. That's okay. That's right. You may have been this wide. You know what? It's God's unlimited power.
Amen.
I heard a preacher years ago put it this way. He said, I want to be a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
Amen.
I like it. God's unlimited power. Mary's Christmas School. Again, I had the privilege of going into Mr. and Mrs. Harmon's class today and just watching. Mrs. Harmon was taking the flashcards, and it was actually great, too. There was one little boy that started acting up. Brother Howard and I were in the back. And Mrs. Harmon just looked at him in that sweet way of hers and said, now, she called him by name. I'm thankful she didn't say Eric. That's all. Amen. She called that young man by name, and she said, I'm the teacher, and I'm talking right now, and I want you to listen. And they did. Praise God.
Amen.
She was teaching those kids about Christmas school. Hey, let's not get too old for Christmas school. Amen.
Amen?
Let's not get too old for Christmas school. Let's remember God's unending plans, God's unfailing promises, and God's unlimited power. Father, we love